And the psalm can be read on page 606 in the Church Bibles. If you've got the large print version, it's page 1078. The reading is from Psalm 104. Praise the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. He wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. He set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. But at your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. They flowed over mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. He makes springs pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the air nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for man to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread that sustains his heart. The trees of the Lord are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. There the birds make their nests. The stork has its home in the pine trees. The high mountains belong to the wild goats. The crags are a refuge for the conies. The moon marks off the seasons, and the sun knows when to go down. You bring darkness, it becomes night, and all the beasts of the forest prowl. The lions roar for their prey and seek their food from God. The sun rises, they steal away. They return and lie down in their dens. Then man goes out to his work, to his labour until evening. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. There the ships go to and fro, and the Leviathan, which you formed to frolic there. These all look to you, to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. But may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel can be found on page 1050 in the Church Bibles, or page 1853 in the large print version. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke chapter 16, verses 10 to 13. Glory to you, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the way in which you provide for us. Thank you for providing your word for us this morning. Please help us to feed on it as we gather here. Amen. Amen. Please do sit down. Well, that psalm that Mike read so well to us is a wonderful psalm celebrating all that we enjoy in the world that we live in. And I think that this psalm helps us to think about those wow moments, those times when we're out in nature, maybe there for ourselves or through the means of an amazing documentary we're watching that talks about the natural world, and we have those wow moments. Perhaps it's noticing the sunlight just catching the leaves in a forest, streaming through. Or maybe it's looking at the intricacy of a flower that seems so unnecessarily beautiful. All of the fine details and colours and patterns. Or maybe it's simply watching a spider weave a web. We seem to have plenty of opportunities to do that in our house at the moment, as the spiders are taking over. But it is amazing still, isn't it? Even if you're often trying to get rid of them later, to watch a spider. It seems to know where to go. It's able to create this beautiful thing just in a few moments. It's a lovely song that the infant and junior school often sing. I wonder if you've heard it being sung. Everywhere around me, I can see the hand of God. The evidence surrounds me in the greatness of his world. Well, very appropriate words, aren't they? And this psalm speaks of them. Praise the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The psalm speaking of how creation itself testifies to the Lord's greatness. I'm sure we've all had moments like that when we've noticed something or learnt about something in nature and we've just been taken aback by how amazing or how beautiful it is. You see, often we feel like we're kind of, we're in control of nature. We've learnt how to master it, how to tame it for ourselves. But there are still those moments in life when we see a mountain landscape or we're perhaps out on the oceans and we suddenly feel small in comparison to the greatness and the glory of creation. And that's, I think, what this psalm wants us to focus on. If you'd like to follow through, it's on page 606 in the Pew Bibles. We're just going to look at a few very brief observations in the psalm and then work out what our response to it should be. So I think this psalm points to both the Lord's greatness and his goodness. It might sound like two ways of saying the same thing, but I think they are separate. God could be great without being good. But I think we see both his greatness and his goodness in this psalm. The beginning of the psalm makes that explicit. Clothed with splendor and majesty, he wraps himself in light as with a garment. Think of brilliant light and how it speaks of something so otherly, a shining, bright and strong light. That speaks of God's glory, but also light is the means by which we see creation around us. Light is the means by which we appreciate all that God has made. He illuminates all that he has made. And that sense of him clothing himself in creation is an act of revelation, isn't it? Think of a king or a queen dressed in splendor, fine robes, bearing their coat of arms, displaying who they are, what their role is. God here clothing himself with creation. Verse 3 says, he makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. Those extreme weather events might seem slightly terrifying, but they do display something of God. Those moments when we realize we're not in control of everything. We're at the mercy of the elements. As lightning flashes through the sky, as thunder rattles, speaks of something bigger than us. A reminder of God's greatness. But also, we see him taming creation, taming the waters. In the ancient world, in Israel, the deep waters, the oceans, were seen as being a place of chaos. And no wonder, because people would set sail onto the oceans and sometimes not return. The waves were seen as untamable. And even now, in our technological age, it's still the case, isn't it? That we're at the mercy of the elements out on the sea. We feel small and fragile. But here is a God spoken of in these verses who can tame the chaos. He set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. This God, Yahweh, can tame the chaos. Well, as well as God's greatness, we see his goodness. And verses 10 to 23, the sort of middle section of the psalm, speak very clearly of God's goodness. Goodness in providing. He makes springs pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Lots of little examples as we move through the verses of how God provides. And perhaps a favourite verse to many, verse 15, wine that gladdens the heart of man. There we are. God has given creation for us to enjoy. He intended for us to be able to take grapes and find that there was yeast contained in their skins that could be fermented to make wine. Just a little example of how the raw materials that we take for granted in life come from him. And they're meant to make us glad, meant to bring joy to us. Oil to make our faces shine. That might seem like a slightly strange expression, but there was a tradition back then of anointing the head, and it was seen as a sign of blessing and of joy. Bread that sustains the heart. So wonderful verses reminding us of God's goodness. And then that response of joy is very explicit as we move to verses 24 to 30. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things, both large and small. I wonder if you're a fan of those BBC natural documentaries, the David Attenborough narrated ones, often a favourite for lots of people. Well, think of Blue Planet. Think of seeing those wonderful scenes of what's contained in our oceans across the world. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. And often what's so amazing about those documentaries is the way that they talk about the very complex web and connections between all the creatures, and how they each have their place, each so dependent on the other. Very finely tuned, finely balanced world that we live in. Here the psalmist is delighting in that. And saying it points to God's wisdom in how he's made creation, how he's made the earth. And I'm sure we can find lots of evidence of that all around us. I think of that every time I walk to the apple tree in our garden and think, God could have just made this apple tree reseed itself in a much more boring way. But here are these wonderful, juicy, red apples that I can enjoy and eat for food, as can lots of other creatures, as is evidenced by lots of the tiny holes in many of the apples. But I'm often struck how he's taken such joy in doing something so good when it could have been so much less enjoyable for us. We just take the fruit bowl for granted, don't we? What a wonderful testimony to his wisdom and his goodness. So God's greatness, God's goodness in the psalm. And then I think two responses for us. Well, the first response is explicit, made very clear in the psalm. May the glory of the Lord endure forever, verse 31. May the Lord rejoice in his works. They're there for the Lord's enjoyment too. And then in verse 33, I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. This psalm wants us to remember our place in creation as those who are humbled before him, those who rejoice, those who don't just take the gifts without the giver, those who remember the giver who brings the gifts. And it might seem like a very condescending thing to be told, to remember our place in creation. But I think much of what's wrong in the world is when we don't remember our place, when we're not humbled before God, when we think we are kings and can do as we please, we bring great harm, don't we, to each other and to the world we made. And we should remember too that the God who asks us to condescend ourselves, to humble ourselves, is not a God who's unwilling to do it as well. Think of God condescending himself. Some words from Philippians chapter 2. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. As God asks us to humble ourselves before him, he is willing also to humble himself. He will do what he asks of us. And that's what this psalm wants us to see, that by remembering our place before God, things are put back into their right order. That's, after all, in Genesis, how things were set up. God the Creator, we as his creatures, and the created order given to us as a gift. Knowing our place in relation to God, but also knowing our place in relation to the world that he created. I think that's the implicit response in this psalm. It's interesting that man is only mentioned very briefly in verse 23. Otherwise, all the verses are dedicated either to God or to the world that he has made. Just one verse that speaks of mankind. Sometimes we need to remember that we're a bit smaller than we think we are. I often speak of how standing beneath a starry sky at night is an important reminder of that. Or maybe the reminder of our lives not being quite as long or as majestic as we sometimes like to think that they are. Knowing our place in relation to the world, knowing responsibility to the world that God has created. That's on many people's minds at the moment as we think about some of the urgent calls to address environmental problems. Think of the Amazon rainforest burning right now, worse fires than there have been for an awfully long time. And they're fires started by humans. Fires started for mining or logging or agriculture. And many are drawing attention to the fact that the Amazon accounts for 15 to 20% of the world's oxygen renewal. It's the lungs of our planet. So it is serious what's going on. God has provided those trees in that rainforest to provide oxygen for us. But before we point the finger at those in Brazil and blame them, we must confess, as we've already started to do so in our liturgy, that for each of us it's greed and self-interest that contribute to lots that's wrong with this world and lots that's damaging to our environment, to the world that God has made. Our gospel reading was a little parable of Jesus entrusting things to people and asking us to think about what we've been entrusted with and what we will do with it. If creation is a gift, we should take seriously that responsibility. And that's why it will be important over the coming Sundays to use this liturgy to remember what we've been entrusted with and how we will need to keep humbling ourselves before God and asking what it is that he wants us to do to steward that gift. Well, let me pray for us as we move on to the rest of our service together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the world that you've made. Please help us to keep having those wow moments when we see yet again the beauty and the intricacy of all that you've made. Please, Lord, if we're struggling to really see you as creator of this world, please soften our hearts, help us to see your hand at work. And Heavenly Father, please reassure us of your greatness, your power, and your goodness. Please help us to see that the gift of all that you've given us. Help us to know our place in relation to you, to be ready to keep humbling ourselves before you, confessing what we need to confess. And help us also to know our place in relation to the world that you've given us. Know what action to take. Know how to treat the gift that you've given us. Please do this for your glory's sake. Amen.